come down off that ladder, wash out that paintbrush, shake the sand out of your shoes. Get up off your muddy knees and give the garden the morning off. Fold up the newspaper, turn off the coffee pot. Close up your calendar already filled with dates and times and people and places that claim you. This church is ready for you to fill its rooms, even from your room at home, to create its spirit, to generate its warmth, to kindle its light. This church is ready for you to make community, to create beauty, to bend it toward justice, to turn its ideals into reality. This church is ready for you to be here, honoring our past, invigorating our present, and dreaming our future. This is your church. Here we are home. Here we are whole. Let us begin. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC Natick, as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, which is remarkably quiet today, especially compared to last week. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to the nursery. And after the word for all ages, kids are invited to head downstairs to the vestry for a community art project. All right, I got some announcements today. You ready? No choir anthem today because lots of choir members are away, but we'll have lots of other music. And two things to get on your calendar. I know, I just told you to put your calendar away, and now I'm saying two things to get on your calendar. I'm a contradictory being. The first thing to get on your calendar is Where Can We Live in Peace? The documentary coming up on Sunday, September 29th, 5 p.m. Get it on your calendar. Sunday, September 29th, 5 p.m. Where Can We Live in Peace? The second thing to get on your calendar is the Festival Community Concert, Saturday, October 5th, 7 p.m. Come as we share the sanctuary, the renovated sanctuary, with the community. We, next week, are welcoming new members. For anyone who would like to formalize their covenant with this congregation, just see me. That's next Sunday during worship. Also next Sunday, we wrap up our diaper drive for A Place to Turn. See info on that in the bulletin and the link, and get ready to bless diapers next Sunday. But today, we've got the Signs of Love program at Christ Lutheran. This is their response to the vandalism that their church and ours experienced in July. That's today from 11:30 to 2. You can join me there after the barbecue, because before that, we have the Rally Day barbecue after worship, and all on site are welcome. Huge thanks to Bob and birthday boy Jeff for putting this together today. This fall at FCC Natick, we are building the beloved community. We will ground ourselves in an image of the world the way God intended it to be. We'll create glimpses of that world when we're together, and we'll grow our capacity for bringing that world to life. For those of us feeling anxious in this election season, may this time together give us strength, hope, and peace. This morning, we're thinking about things we might need to unlearn in order to build the beloved community. So as we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Bill. This week, Reverend Cindy was stuck on writing a call to worship, so Randall D. stepped in to fill the gap. Your response is, "May this be the day we come together." On our own, the world can beat us down. May this be the day we come together. We are separated by closed media bubbles. May this be the day we come together. Or by who we love, how we look, what we can afford. May this day be your come together. With so much shouting, it is hard to listen. Come together. Amen. Our opening hymn is Restless Weaver. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit. Be seated. Our centering prayer begins with a bit of relative silence. In the quiet, you might focus on the classic godly play question, "I wonder," and wonder what God will bring to you as we pray. Let us pray. Living God, we want to be sure. We want to be sure we're doing the right things. We want to be sure the world works the way we think it does. We want to be sure Everything will be all right in the end. Sometimes that desire to be sure closes us down to curiosity and creativity, and we miss so much about you, each other, the world. Help us to stay open, to wrestle with new ideas, to keep a hold of wonder, like we saw in the life of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother to us all, loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. In the grip of evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen." Friends, we are young and old, as well as old souls and young at heart, male and female, and both and neither, rich and poor, in stuff and in spirit, and sometimes in both, wise and foolish, often at the same time, Republican and Democrat, and fed up with taking sides. But we are all children of God, bound together by God's love, on site and online. We greet each other with the words, "God's peace be with you." Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Reverend Cindy will help me read it. From there, Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. Jesus entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there.
So Tyre is a part of modern-day Lebanon. It's not a significant city today, but it was back in Jesus' time. For our purposes, know that this was a Gentile region. There were lots of non-Jews hanging around who started to hear about Jesus. But Jesus is on the down low. He's done a slew of miracles and debated with religious leaders. He is worn out and just needs a little bit of peace and quiet. But as Declan would say, wah, wah, wah.
Yet Jesus could not escape notice. But a woman whose little girl had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile from Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter.
Ugh, Poor Jesus, as soon as he sits down to rest, this nasty woman barges in to bug him. She is one of the Gentiles that we were just talking about. Now, I'm not going to go too far down the rabbit hole of unclean spirits and demons in this passage, but I noticed that the word translated as spirit in unclean spirit is pneuma, the same word as breath. So it's totally possible that what the girl had was a bad cough, maybe something like whooping cough, and the sound was so loud and rough that it sounded like a demon. But demon possession is not our biggest problem in this passage.
Jesus said to the woman, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs."
Oh, Jesus.
Scholars say that there is evidence that dogs was a common insult for Gentiles. They were considered unclean and cast out in the minds of the Jewish community. So in Jesus's comment, the children are the Jews and the dogs are the Syrophoenician Gentiles. Jesus's bias is showing, and it is never a good thing when we are associating the other with animals. It is dehumanizing, and throughout history has been a step on the way to genocide. I get that Jesus is tired and cranky, but calling a terrified mother a dog is probably the lowest moment in Jesus's ministry. By the way, I chose this scripture passage back in July, never guessing that dogs, along with cats, would be part of the display of bias in the 2024 presidential election. Bill, tell us how this particular woman deals with the name-calling.
But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs."
Debate ninja. The nameless mother does not argue with Jesus or with his categorization. She turns it back on him to strengthen her argument. He can call her names all day long as he helps her child. Now comes the big test. Does Jesus double down on his bias? Does he take responsibility for the name calling?
Then Jesus said to her, "For saying that, you may go, and the demon has left your daughter."
Okay, it's not quite the apology I was looking for, but at least he stopped with the name calling.
So the woman went home and found the child lying on a bed, and the demon gone.
The child was healed of her illness. Hopefully Jesus was healed of his bias.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Bill. So children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Many, many, many years ago, I went to minister school. It has many different names: seminary, divinity school, theological school, all different words for minister school. Now, if you go to minister school, you probably want to be a minister, or at least you're wondering about it. So you might think that somebody going to minister school will be trying to live out all the ideas we talk about in church: kindness, generosity, patience, acceptance. Well, guess what? People going to minister school are very much people. And maybe that goes double for me. So it was my first day of minister school, and all the students were gathering in a big room for a meeting. As I walked in, I saw a young woman about my age in the middle of the room. This was a big deal because most people at this minister school were at least 15 years older than I was. I immediately thought, "Ugh, I don't like her." She was super pretty, and she had her hair in this cute little ponytail, and she was wearing this stylish jumpsuit, and I was very sure she would be very irritating. So suddenly she was heading my way, and I noticed she had this like little twinkly-eyed smile, and she just looked so cheerful, and I wanted to make gagging noises. She looked like a cheerleader. And I knew cheerleaders were fake and mean and dumb. I know, right? Not my best day. She kept heading near where I was standing, so I started trying to get out of her way, and she came right up to me and said, "Hi, I'm Liza. You're Cindy, right? The dean said you and I have a lot in common, and we should hang out." Liza and I became such good friends that we lived together for 2 years, traveled on vacation, and she was in my wedding. If God laughs, I picture them having a good chuckle at me that day. I was so sure about Liza and what she was like and how we would not get along. If Liza hadn't been so determined to reach out to me, all those ideas would have gotten very stuck, very deep, and we never would have been friends. So in the week ahead, maybe choose one food you think is yucky, or one activity you think you can't do, or one person you're sure you don't like, and just see if maybe you'd like to think about changing your mind. As our younger friends get ready to head off to the vestry for some rally day creativity, let's send them with a blessing. Let's get our blessing hands ready. God of all that changes, be with these beautiful and beloved children as they learn and grow, then relearn and grow some more. Keep them and us open to the moving of your spirit, ready to embrace the world. Amen. Folks on site, are you familiar with Amanda Gorman? This is the young woman, the young black poet many of us were introduced to at President Biden's inauguration. And she wrote a poem called New Day's Lyric at the very end of 2021. The country was weighed down in so many ways at that point, including ongoing deaths and isolation from COVID. Ms. Gorman wrote the poem, she says, to celebrate the new year and honor the hurt and humanity of the last one. Even though we're months away from New Year's Eve, I found so much in the poem to be relevant and timely. I'm gonna read it straight, but if you haven't experienced Ms. Gorman reading it, I strongly suggest you find it online. As you may recall, she expresses her poetry with her body as well as her voice, and it is very powerful. Here are her words in New Day's Lyric, knowing every day is a new day. May this be the day we come together. Mourning, we come to mend. Withered, we come to weather. Torn, we come to tend. Battered, we come to better. Tethered by this year of yearning, we are learning that though we weren't ready for this, we have been readied by it. We steadily vow that no matter how we are weighed down, we must always pave a way forward. This hope is our door, our portal. Even if we never get back to normal, someday we can venture beyond it, to leave the known and take the first steps. So let us not return to what was normal, but reach toward what is next. What was cursed, we will cure. What was plagued, we will prove. Where we tend to argue, we will try to agree. Those fortunes we forswore, now the future we foresee. Where we weren't aware, we're now awake. Those moments we missed are now those moments we make. The moments we meet, and our hearts, once all together beaten, now all together beat.
Come, look up with kindness yet, for even solace can be sourced from sorrow. We remember not just for the sake of yesterday, but to take on tomorrow. We heed this old spirit in a new day's lyric. In our hearts we hear it. For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne. Be bold, sang time this year. Be bold, sang time. For when you honor yesterday, tomorrow ye will find. Know what we fought need not be forgot, nor for none. It defines us, binds us as one. Come over, join this day just begun. For wherever we come together, we will forever overcome. Amen. In the late spring of 2008, our family was sitting around watching television. It was me, Paul, our 7-year-old Spencer, and 4-year-old Lincoln. Lincoln, looking at the television, declared, "I hate the Hankies." He was not expressing his outrage at Kleenex. We were watching baseball, and our beloved Red Sox were playing, and probably losing to, the New York Yankees, but whys were hard for Lincoln, hence, I hate the Hankies. I am in a baseball marriage, and Lincoln played competitive baseball, and our golden retriever was named Fenway. So in the mythology of our household, the Red Sox are the heroes, and the Yankees are the villains. Fast forward to 2024, and Lincoln is now a junior in college studying psychology because shortstop for the Red Sox didn't work out. He's not quite sure what he'll do long term, but the dream would be to be a sports psychologist. So this week I asked him, pretend it's the future. That made him so anxious, just the beginning of that question. You've become a sports psychologist. Yay! And there's an opening in Major League Baseball. Ooh. It's with the Yankees. Do you apply? That last sentence was not even out of my mouth when Lincoln yelled, "No, no way, I would never work for the Yankees." I asked him if there was any other team on the never list, and he said, "Nope, just the Yankees." He said it would be a betrayal of his father and our family values. I know everyone on site is now looking at Paul, who is like, yeah. I would like to think Lincoln was joking, but I don't think so. Since he was 4 years old, he has been fostering the idea that the Yankees are bad, other, and hateful. Now, I know what you're thinking. So what if Lincoln hates the Hankies all his life? What is the harm? Well, you might feel differently if you saw how Lincoln bristles when he just sees someone wearing a Yankees hat in the mall. His feelings extend beyond actual Yankees to Yankee fans and sometimes just to people who are wearing non-Yankee-related pinstripes. Lincoln's conviction that the Yankees are hateful is just as rigid as Jesus' declaration that the Syrophoenician woman was a dog. Now, granted, this is a very human thing to do. We are hardwired to put people in categories of insider and outsider because when we lived in caves, we needed to quickly decide who was going to help us survive and who was going to destroy us. We don't live in caves anymore, but our brain doesn't know that. So like Jesus and Lincoln and me, we make all these categories and let them determine how we interact with the world. Okay, you ready for some data? Did everybody have some caffeine this morning? U.S. Republicans were asked what they think Democrats believe on some key issues. So the Republicans are asked what Democrats believe. And then actual Democrats were asked what they in fact believe on those issues, and vice versa. So Republicans were asked what percentage of Democrats would agree with a statement like, law-abiding citizens should have the right to bear firearms. So the statement is, law-abiding citizens should have the right to bear firearms. Republicans were asked what percentage of Democrats would agree. Do you want to make a guess what Republicans said? 10%. Republicans said 35% of Democrats would agree. You want to guess how many Democrats actually agreed with that statement? It was 68% of Democrats agreed with that statement. That perception gap is 33%. On the other hand, Democrats were asked how many Republicans would agree with the statement, the government should do more to stop guns getting into the hands of bad people. So Democrats were asked how many Republicans would agree with the statement, the government should do more to stop guns getting into the hands of bad people. Democrats guessed, how do you think their rate of what Republicans would agree? 30%. Democrats, but I see you learned from that first round, that was good. Democrats guessed 30% of Republicans would agree. You wanna guess what percentage of Republicans actually agree with that? What? A little lower, 65% of Republicans agree. That's a 35% perception gap. These perception gaps exist for almost every topic researchers have studied, from views on immigration to police to patriotism. I'm happy to share the studies with you if you're interested, including the only place that there wasn't a perception gap. We just have all these ideas about each other that aren't necessarily based in any kind of reality. Amen? Okay, that was like, I hate that that's true, but amen, I get it. Our ideas about each other are based on things we heard in the media, what some troll wrote on Facebook, and what our dad said 20 years ago. It is time to start unlearning some of these judgments we have about each other, or at least take a second look at them. Please hear me. I am not making a case for there are good people on both sides. When people say racist things, or make policies that hurt trans kids, or instigate bomb threats on kids' schools, kids who are in this country legally, not that that should matter, we hold them accountable and do everything we can to stop them. Justice is the foundation of the beloved community. Thank you. That would be a good time for an amen. I'll say it again. Justice is the foundation of the beloved community. Okay. But if Jesus is capable of unfairly judging people, maybe we are too. And that might be what our political parties would like us to do, but it is not who our faith calls us to be. God calls us to see the image of the divine in the other, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter what group they belong to. Jesus was wrong about the Syrophoenician woman. I was wrong about Liza. Lincoln is actually wrong to condemn all Yankees and Yankees fans. But how about something closer to home? That Sunday morning when we discovered vandalism at the church, there was a political rally across the street. A lot of us jumped to the conclusion that the rally goers were the vandals. Turns out they had nothing to do with it. At the beginning of a new school year, we need to unlearn our knee-jerk reactions that put people in categories. We need to unlearn our old judgments and see where they have misled us. We need to unlearn our tribal inclinations that keep us separated and in conflict. Amanda Gorman put it so much better. What was cursed, we will cure. What was plagued, we will prove pure. Where we tend to argue, we will try to agree. Those fortunes we forswore, now the future we foresee. Where we weren't aware, we are now awake. Those moments we missed are the moments we make. The moments we meet, and our hearts, once all together beaten, now all together beat. Amen.
Thank you.
As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Doug, welcome home, Doug. Doug's joy is celebrating, well, first of all, maybe you'll celebrate that you had this awesome trip to Utah, but also celebrating the apparent miracle that on the trip they met a Yankees fan and had a lovely conversation. Amen. One of my joys today, and it's a complicated joy, is we are holding in prayer Miles. This is the son of Sarah Beth and Peter. He has joined the Air Force. He hasn't left yet. He's leaving in November. So congratulations to Miles and to his parents, and also prayers for a big move in his life. It's also Jeff's birthday, so I'm celebrating that Jeff is 29. Lane, do you have any joys up there?
Well, I'm sure you'll all be glad to hear that the injury I sustained last week while preparing coffee hour has pretty much healed. And even though there was no blood that got into the coffee, I've offered to help today with the cookout, but Bob has asked me not to get anywhere near the food, so I won't be.
If you weren't here last week, I don't know. We give people mics. So we are so glad that Lane has no injuries this week, and we are so glad that Bob is preparing a barbecue feast for him. And Jeff, do you have anything to add? And Jeff has nothing to add. You have any other joys up there, Lane? Okay. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Yeah, please. Yeah. I love that. So we know that God's Spirit can move in all sorts of ways, including through a hairdryer, right? Because that's the pneuma blowing through it. So old friends who we may have to say there are some things we're not going to talk about, but we are going to keep leaning in with each other and know that there is more to the story than that one thing we can't talk about. That is hard work. It takes spiritual grounding and deep breath. Thank you for doing that work. Yeah. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Randall. So Dee Dee's mom has recently been diagnosed with diabetes, and this made like recent hospitalizations very complicated. Now she's living with diabetes, but that still has a lot of ups and downs and a lot of things to figure out. And she's not right nearby either, so Dee Dee's trying to figure out how to help her and support her at a distance, while her mom is probably also trying to figure it all out. So prayers for Dee Dee and for her mom in this time of such complication. And then prayers for Randall too, right? It's hard to be the pit crew. Yeah. Sarah Beth. We are holding Sarah Beth's friend Donna in our prayers. She's been married for 32 years, and that marriage is coming to an end. No marriage comes to an end in an easy way, and this one's feeling extra complicated. So we hold Donna in our prayers and hope that she's able to keep reaching out to friends to stay connected in this process. And we know that God is with her as well. Yes, Sue. So sometimes people are not helpful. So Sue tells folks that she's got this surgery coming up, and they hear the details and they're like, oh, that's so painful. Well, oh my goodness. First of all, maybe it was painful for them, but that doesn't mean it's going to be painful for Sue. And our message to Sue is, may the God of care and healing be with you and all of those who will be involved in this procedure, and may you feel better on the other side. Is that so hard for people to say? So can you remind me of your brother's name? Bob. So we are glad that Sue's brother, Bob, who had a terrible bike accident, is doing better. And Sue, we're holding you in prayer in this time of great unpredictability, and we'll be there for you over the 2 months with no wheels. Thanks, Sue. Bill. Charlie, but your sister's name, what? Peggy, yeah. So we prayed for them last week, but I think it's particularly important that Bill be hearing our prayers for them, for his sister, Peg, who is living with memory loss, for his brother-in-law, Charlie, who had hip surgery and is in a great deal of pain, and all the worry and stress from the extended family on how to best support them when you don't have a magic wand. So we hold all you in our prayers, Bill. Yeah. Yeah, Miriam. Afar. Miriam's extended Chile, her family in Chile is going through a lot right now, especially her mom, also her sister and brother, as they're trying to figure out how to care for all of it. And also, this is hard for Miriam because she's far away and feeling disconnected. So we hold all of them in our prayers, grateful for the fact that for God, geography is no boundary, and God keeps knitting them together. Yeah, yeah. I am holding in my prayers the people of Springfield, Ohio, as they deal with bomb threats in their schools and City Hall, and with deep gratitude for all the residents who are doing things like showing up at Haitian Creole restaurants to show the support for their neighbors. Lane has no concerns. Did I miss anything? Yeah, Deb. So we're going to help Steve continue to work on all that deep breathing and that staying calm. He's been dealing with high blood pressure for a while. The first couple of efforts haven't really made the difference they want. He's seeing a cardiologist this week. He knows he's going to be fine. We need to care for Deb as well as Steve in this time. Let us pray. Spirit of wondering, open our hearts. Spirit of both and, open our hearts. Spirit of wait, there's more, open our hearts. Spirit of deep listening, open our minds. Spirit of curiosity, open our minds. Spirit of finding out we were wrong, open our minds. Spirit of abundance, open our hands. Spirit of courage, open our hands. Spirit of embracing the other, open our hands. With our open hands, our open minds, our open hearts, we can open the world to your vision, your justice, your love. Amen. The summer, I had a chance to tour A Place to Turn. This wonderful resource on Hartford Street in Natick is probably familiar to most of you. How many of you at least heard of A Place to Turn, if not volunteered there? But in case not, A Place to Turn is a choice food pantry. That means people are able to choose the food that works best for their family rather than receiving a predetermined allotment. But choice means more than the pantry setting up their shelves to look like a grocery store. A Place to Turn has regular conversations with the people who use the pantry and shape their work accordingly. One thing this means is that the pantry buys most of its stock rather than relying on the public to drop off items. Their clients say that what they really want is milk, cheese, and eggs, flexible protein for their families. So these are the items in which A Place to Turn invests. There's also an abundance of beautiful fresh produce representing the diets of different cultures. All that in a space that is bright and welcoming thanks to a renovation finished last year. Now, FCC Natick regularly supports the work of A Place to Turn, including with the diaper drive that's going on right now. But when I asked the new executive director, Rebecca Gallo, how we could help, she did not ask for a donation. She is worried about the elders in our community. The number of elders accessing A Place to Turn is much lower than one would expect considering the population statistics. She isn't sure if it's a transportation issue or because folks are apprehensive about visiting A Place to Turn or that they just don't realize it's available. The pantry is working on various programs that might make it easier for elders, but meanwhile, she asked us to help get the word out. As long as you live in one of the towns that they serve, which includes Natick, and can bring in a utility bill or other proof of residence, you are in. So I have some flyers you can take for yourself or for a friend. I'm so grateful for this community partner that focuses on addressing hunger with dignity, equity, and empathy. And I'm so grateful to you, since it is through your generosity that we're able to support A Place to Turn. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, we pass a plate that will help others fill their plates with healthy food. God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the hearts that openly give them. Amen. Our closing hymn is 396, Strong, Gentle Children. Beloved, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all persons. Honor all creation. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the love of God, the light of Christ, and the power and communion of that Spirit be with us all. Go in peace. Amen.